Hello and welcome to the VizTrails podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Ballard. In today's Marketing Insights episode, I'm talking about the groups market. The domestic group travel or coach tour industry has been a really important part of the UK's tourism industry for many years. Groups have historically been guaranteed business for many tourism organisations, with up to 50 people on a coach coming often during weekdays or shoulder periods. However, because of the pandemic, hundreds of coach companies, many of them well established, went out of business. Not only did they lose their tourism customers, they also lost their bread and butter daily schoolwork, which was a massive part of their business. And added to that, their older travellers, their tourism travellers were reluctant to travel, and it was devastating. Despite the massive restructure of the industry, many coach companies have survived. And in 2023, the size of the coach transport industry was worth £3.5 billion. Of this, 22% is domestic coach company business, with around 11% inbound coach tours. So the question is, should it be a market that we are looking to attract still? And if so, how do we market to these people in 2024? I've brought onto the show group travel specialist Steve Reed from Steve Reed Tourism to talk to me about it. I asked Steve to share an introduction into what the market is all about for those who are new in their tourism careers. He also shares some great insight into what, if anything, has changed and how we can reach these groups. Enjoy the episode. I'd like to take a moment to thank and highlight our podcast sponsor, the outstanding digital marketing specialists, Noble Performs. In the visitor economy, digital marketing is absolutely crucial. However, mastering so many elements and staying abreast of best practice can be quite challenging. If you're lucky, you've probably got a digital marketer, but their time and expertise is probably spent updating the website and creating organic content for social media like videos and photos. This leaves a big hole in your digital marketing strategy potentially, and you may be missing out on key initiatives that are really critical to driving sales and footfall in your business. This is where Noble can help. They specialise in SEO, pay-per-click, display advertising, paid social media, content and email marketing, and website creation. They work closely with you to ensure that your digital marketing efforts translate into tangible improvements to your bottom line. From understanding your customers' interests and capturing their attention, to helping identify issues that stand in the way of bookings on your website. They've got an abundance of knowledge in the visitor economy and not only bring their expertise to the table, they're also genuinely fantastic people. They're really passionate about what they do. To discover more about Noble and how they can help your business, click on the link in the show notes or head to nobleperforms.co.uk and tell them I sent you. Welcome to the podcast, Steve. It's great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, Kelly. Very pleased to be part of your podcast.
Well, I am. So you are, in my eyes, the groups guru. And today I want to talk about the groups market because, you know, there's a lot that's happened over the past couple of years, especially with COVID. Where is the group market today? And also, there's a lot of new people that come in and work in our industry, and they're not really sure what the groups market is because there's lots of different elements to it. So tell me a little bit about you and your business to start with.
Right. Well, we've been going, and by we, I mean myself and my wife, Judith, Stephen Judith Reed, we've been going with Steve Reed Tourism now since 1999. So what's that? That's about, this is our 25th year, our quarter century that we've just
Congratulations.
Up. Yeah, well, thank you very much. And as it says on the tin, we work with coaches, tours and groups. That's all we've ever done. We don't pretend to do anything else. So I guess you would say we are group specialists. As you can probably tell from my voice, I am from the northeast of England, and we used to be based up beside Hadrian's Wall and Hexham and then Corbridge. But we worked increasingly out of the northeast. We saturated the northeast, bringing groups in and coaches, and then further afield into Cumbria, Yorkshire, the Midlands. We moved down, Steve Reed Tourism, down to Hampshire in 2011, We did that because we've got three daughters down south and we want to play a part in their lives. And we are doing that. We've got grandchildren now, so we're very grateful for that. So on the group side, it's important to know that we're talking about people arriving in coaches. We're not interested in buses. Buses stop at bus stops. Coaches don't stop at bus stops.
Right.
So we are very much interested on the people who get onto coaches and bring tours, trips, and their spending power to attractions, hotels, meal stops, markets, art galleries, events. Oh, you name it. It's about economic activity. So if you have a tourism business that can take a group of people, and by the way, I am not talking here about educational groups particularly. I'm talking about adults predominantly, and they tend to be an older demographic, but not always. I always think of a coach, a 51-seater coach, driving down the road past Bristol. If I was in Bristol and I had an attraction, I would be saying, there's 51 wallets or purses driving past Bristol. I want them to go into Bristol, or I want them to go to Weston-super-Mare, or I want them to go to Exmoor for their spending power. So we need always, I think, to be thinking about the value and volume of coach travellers. Treat them like the VIPs they are. Because the thing we always like about coach people, people who get on the coaches, people who run the coach tours, is that it's traditional and it's reliable. So if you have an attraction and you're wondering how many visitors you're going to get on that day, but the weather's terrible, you know, Storm Stevie has come around and it's creating havoc. Well, even though Storm Stevie is creating havoc outside your attraction, the coaches that have pre-booked to come to your attraction will still come, come hell or high water. They are observable, and you know they're coming, and they will spend money. Yes. So they're not flaky, they're not airy-fairy.
Thank you, Steve. Well, tell me a little bit about those buyers then in terms and how that market breaks up. Tell me about who those different types of buyers are. Who might we appeal to?
Okay, well, if you want to sell to the travel trade, there are several. First of all, there are group travel organizers, often shortened to GTOs, group travel organizers. Now, they can be an organizer for any organization. It could be an employment association. It could be the University of the Third Age or Probus or you name it, or perhaps the National Trust membership. These are all people who put together their little tours. They mightn't do many tours, but it's worth having them. Some of them do as many tours as a tour operator might do. Mm-hmm. So you've got the group travel organizers. They're worth looking after. They're not so price sensitive as some of the big coach and tour operators who can bring you a lot of tours, but some of them want to ratchet your rates down to the floorboards. You've got to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to think about getting group travel organizers. That's very important for you. And coach and tour operators. Well, coach operators, as the name implies, they operate coaches. Now, coach operators can do lots of things. They can run their own holidays and they can run excursions. And so that's going to be important for you, whether you're a hotel or whether you run events or whatever. Tour operators wouldn't necessarily have coaches, but they all work together. So it's a little bit of a jigsaw that's coming there as well. It's also important not to forget about inbound coaches coming into the country, because they're important to you too. And very often, they want to do the same sort of things as the group travel organizers want to do, and as the coach and tour people want to do themselves. It's nice to see a full coach on a motorway or a road. It's rare you will see that now. The average coach, I've heard, has got about between 28 to 35 people on it, the average. Some of them are full, though, but some of them are less than that.
Thank you, Steve. Well, I was going to ask you about that because generally coach tours are older people, and the coach tour market really took a hit during COVID. Tell me a little bit about that. And what happened in the market during that time?
It was terrible. I mean, it was year zero. It was awful. And what happened with this perfect storm of COVID was that eventually around 300 to 350, might be more, coach and tour companies went bust around the country because they had nobody to take on the coaches. They had no schools to do school runs. They couldn't take anybody on excursions. So that was a terrible thing. So we've lost loads of coach companies. Some others have rationalized and proved themselves, but there's a big chunk out in the market. But terribly, lots of the older demographics in particular were frightened to leave the house. And one or two of them still are. And they would not get back on a coach again. It took a long time to get people back on the coaches. Any coach company will tell you that. So it was one thing for the government to say, oh, you know, the lockdowns are over now, you can resume your business. It took a lot of time. It really did. But it's helped, particularly during the staycation time. Do you remember when we were saying, oh, we're having all these staycations and you don't have to go abroad? And that also helped group travel to recover a little bit. But tying in to the challenges provided by COVID, which were amazing challenges, I may add, was also the fact that hundreds of hotels were taken out of the group travel field because they were contracted by the Home Office. And that's still happening everywhere around the country. So hotels that your group travel organizer or your coach or tour operator or your inbound operator or your tour wholesaler might have considered and that have been using for groups for years, no longer available. So you imagine you've got a town maybe by the seaside that had three big hotels for groups and all of them have been taken over. So there's no economic activity. I'm not making a political point here. I'm just talking about the effects on the, some terrible effects on the industry, but on the wider economy.
I can absolutely understand.
But we're getting over that now, Kelly. We're getting
right. So tell me what's happening today then in the market. What is, you know, how are people coming back and what are they interested in?
They're interested in the sort of things that groups were always interested in. How would I fill a coach? I can tell you that, you see, because this is what it is. If I wanted to fill a coach, I would include a tour that had things like gardens, particularly gardens that they haven't heard of before or have been revamped or just opened. They love to do boat trips on rivers or around the sea. They love things like that. They like to be surprised. Yes, they do want to see things that have always been there. That's important. They do like things like markets and art galleries and all those sort of things. They particularly like big events if they've got a good enough run up to it. So they would be the sort of things that I would try to include. But I think it's very important for the people who are putting these tours together, whether it's the tourist boards, the local authorities, the DMOs, or whoever it is, and selling an area, they've got to get it out early. They've got to have an idea of the price. And even though the phrase price sensitive looms its head with group travel, that's not always true. Because imagine, you know, Kelly, you're walking up high streets with all the shops, and one day you might feel price sensitive. I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to go to Primark today. Another day, it might not be Primark. It might be something more upmarket. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to have the whole spectrum of group offers to people. So whether it's 3-star, 4-star, or 5-star, the people who get onto coaches want to have those experiences. And what we've learned, sadly, is that a lot of the people, and I'm going to point the finger here at a lot of hotel general managers I've come across in the past, have got a very old-fashioned idea about the value and volume of groups. They think it's five old ladies sitting around a pot of tea and there's going to be no secondary spend and they all go to bed at 9 o'clock. That is a big disservice to their business, in my eyes. And that's because then they haven't kept up to date with the changing state of the group travel market. It's always evolving. It's evolving now in a good way because of the COVID blows. But really, the tourism industry, people who are planning and looking after groups need, I think, to get up to speed. Because if they want to fill those beds, if they want to bring customers in the shoulder periods, January, February, March, October, November, early December, they've got to do the homework because they can top their incomes in by doing that.
Thank you, Steve. That's really interesting. I've got loads of questions from that. But my first question is, when you talk about booking early and planning these things early, what does early look like to you and those groups?
Okay. Well, you know, traditionally, if you remember when you used to go to holiday exhibitions, everyone used to have their brochures ready at the end of the year for January, you know, around this time of the year when all the shows will be ready. That still applies in a way. But people are planning tours all the time now. You look at a typical coach company, whatever it is, they will do different products throughout the years. Throughout the 12-month period. But it's events that will draw tour operators to plan tours and people to get on coaches. They want to know about illuminations well in advance. They want to know about food and drink festivals, firework festivals. So it's events that tend to be organized in the public sector. I've said this a lot to them over the years. Please organize it well in advance. And when we organize events, we organize them a year in advance if we can. The longer, the better. Yes, it's going to be hard for them to get all the detail. They don't have to have the headline acts, but they need the venue, they need a ballpark idea of prices, and they need the dates. Mm-hmm. So people can use events to drive groups. So well in advance, I would say. Talking about hotels, the people who plan tours will book their hotels early. They've got to now. But what they do not want to see is they don't want to be turfed out by the hotels for what is considered to be more lucrative customers later in the day. Mm. This is always a challenge for group travel, by the way, but I think it's worse at the moment. So challenges, but there's a lot of opportunities there as well, I think.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, so what are the key things that people can do to market to groups then in this day and age? Because historically, it used to be about attending the shows.
Yeah, yes.
Direct mail. What works today?
Well, first of all, I would be putting together a group action plan. That's very important. Base it across 36 months because it's very hard for us to think further ahead than 3 years and have a whole selection of different activities and routes to market. You've got to have a route to market that is cost effective for you. You also, of course, before you do that, you need to know what the best fit group is for you. What can you offer the tour planners best? Don't do things that you're not set up to do. So you need to be able to plan through an action plan. And the tour planners, in order to have confidence in you, need certainty. So they want to be excited and thrilled by what they're paying for, whether it's an event, an experience, or a set of touring visits. And what they want from you, unlike the old days, they want you to be creative in what you're offering. For example, if you've got a grand stately home or a, or something like that with gardens, and you would do the normal garden tours. How about a luxury tour? Because people will pay extra for that, behind the scenes tour, champagne visit, all of these things. So don't think that your group offer should be purely based upon price sensitivity, but have a whole spectrum covering the social spectrum.
Okay, that's interesting. So that's your kind of like product offer. So how do you actually reach these groups? And there's going to be different ways. So when you talk about the GTOs, for example, the group travel organizers, those individuals, how best to reach them?
Okay. Well, when you're going for group travel organizers, like your coach operators, you've got to maintain a database of these tour buyers. That's very important. Basic, non-glamorous stuff. To get group travel organizers, you really need to start doing a bit of due process by going to some of the shows. There's some very good shows in Britain. I mean, we do shows, we tourism. You know, we're doing one on the 13th of May at the RHS, Royal Horticultural Society, Garden Bridgewater, 13th of May, where there will be group travel organisers. We're doing another one at Coventry Transport Museum on the 28th of October. But there's the likes of the Group Leisure Show. You know, that's later on this year. British Travel and Tourism Show, BTTS at the NEC, 20th and 21st of March. All of these shows. We've got excursions, which is happening about this time of the year. That's at Wembley Stadium. So it's important to somehow go to these shows, or at least piggyback on those shows if you can, because they can be expensive. If I was an attraction or a hotel or a destination, and I would want to dust it off and launch it. I would want to launch it to the travel trade by getting the travel trade media to shout from the rooftops about what you've got to offer. The GTOs will read these magazines. The coach operators will read these magazines, and they'll get to hear about you. But it's important also to have a rapport with them. Keep in touch with them. Don't be vague about it. Have a rapport with the GTOs. You can do things like familiarizations, FAMs. The familiarization is one of the best ways to get groups. We would call it a group buyer showcase, because a lot of familiarizations, sometimes called educationals, can get a bad name because haven't got the right people on. You've got to have bona fide buyers. And that's another way. If you're getting these buyers to come in, GTOs, coach operators, even inbound operators, get them in to sample your attraction, and if they like what they'll see, they will book. And you've got to keep the group travel wheel rolling all the time. Come up with new ideas. You've done your action plan, remember. You're maintaining the database. You're keeping in touch with people. And you're doing things like having showcases. You're doing mail shots. And you're going to the exhibitions. Mm-hmm. Keep in touch with them as well.
Well, Steve, it sounds very much like it used to be in terms of how you do keep in touch with these people. So people are still reading the magazines? Are they more likely to read emails nowadays? I mean, I'm sure they do. But, what about social media for these group travel organisers?
Yes, well, here's another thing. Because a few years ago, the demographic, you know, we're talking in general terms here, they had different types of communication methods, really. But I've got to say, print is still important. Tourist boards, I remember the public sector 20 years ago said, oh, we're just going to be digital from now on. Well, how wrong was that? People still like to smell that print when it arrives through the letterbox. Mm-hmm. They like that. But group travel organizers, if we're talking about them, and certainly coach operators, are all heavily present on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of those platforms they're very much into. And email, it's pretty much all technology now. I mean, it must be about 40 years old. Yes, of course they'll do email. So really the travel trade, the coach and tour operators, and the GTOs in particular, have caught on, because they're getting older, but the technology's getting older. Something else would come as well. They're like things like your podcasts, you see. That's important. So we've tried to change the way we do things. We used to do loads of fans and familiarizations. We don't do so many now, still do them, but we do short movies where we can showcase a place like Hull, for example, or Hadrian's Wall, or Cumbria, or Bristol, or whatever it is, Eastbourne, and we'll send the link for that short film out to the GTO so they can look at it and in the pleasure and the leisure of their own living room, and they can plan the tour from home. And they think, oh, I've got my brochure here. Oh, look at that. Oh, look, we've got one of their little short films there. Oh, that's Steve telling us where to park the coach. Steve tells us that hotel hasn't got a lift. Mm. So things are gradually, incrementally changing. But the bottom line is groups are so important to any tourism business. And if you don't get groups, you're doing yourself a big disservice. It's important to destinations very much. And if I was running a destination, I'd want all of the constituent parts to really do their bit to get groups in there.
Mm-hmm. And my last question to you, Steve, in terms of there will definitely be people out there that don't have an email list or a mailing list of those group travel organisers. So aside from coming to the shows, is there another way that can they work with people like you? And no doubt you have a massive list of people. How do people work with you?
Well, people generally contact Steve Reed Tourism at my email, which has stayed the same point. Yeah, it's steve@stevereedtourism.co.uk, and it's Reed with a double A. So we will try to help anybody that we can. Or if we can't help, we will point them in the right direction. We've worked all over Britain, and we know so many places. We know the good and the bad, and we know the unexpected now. So they can contact us, and we will try to help. But I do think they've got to make a commitment to doing groups. That's the thing. They can't just use the literature or the messaging that they use for weddings. Or school visits or team building or anything like it. It's got to have specific, dedicated set of group messages. That's what I would say. But Savory Tourism would be willing to help at any time.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Steve. Your insight has been tremendous as usual. I really appreciate your time.
Well, Kelly, thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's Marketing Insights podcast. I'd love to know your thoughts on today's topic. If you have a question for me or my guest, then head over to the post on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn and put it in the comments. Or just send me an email, kelly@visitorelves.co.uk. I've created these podcast episodes to help us get better at marketing our visitor economy businesses. If you have some helpful tips, I'd love to hear them too. See you soon.